Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Reminder, road show tomorrow with Hail Varsity in the single barrel down inside the Graduate, 9th and P, 4 to 6 tomorrow, and we'll be there again Saturday, 8 to 10 for the pregame show before Nebraska's spring game. Evan Bland joins us now from the Omaha World Herald, at Evan Bland, OWH on Twitter. Evan, a lot to get into. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
We're good. We are good. We'll get into some Big Red baseball in a moment. Tough one last night. What's your take here on Dylan Edwards, the product from Derby High School, the Dylan Derby here with K-State, Kansas, it looks like A&M and Nebraska. How nice a fit do you think he could be for the Nebraska running back room portal-wise?
Well, I think he could be a fit for quite a few schools out there. I mean, you think about his pedigree out of high school. He was someone who could catch passes, who could run between the tackles, who had the speed, and you know, he showed it in flashes at Colorado last year. And so this is, you know, the world of college athletics that we're living in now, where a guy commits somewhere and you just kind of put a pin in it and say, okay, let's see what happens in a year or two. And sure enough, he's back on the market, and you would think the home state schools would have their say and have their audience as he makes his decision. You know, oftentimes guys at this point of the calendar year especially go in kind of knowing where they're going to end up. I don't know that that's the case with Dylan, or what his situation is exactly, but certainly when you look at his abilities and you look at Nebraska's running back room, which is a mix of older guys, there's some injuries there, some younger unproven players, you could see a scenario certainly where he could come in and add a different element, a little bit of college experience to that room as well. So we've seen Nebraska already be quick in its addition of Vince Genitone from Montana earlier this week, yesterday. And so it does seem that Nebraska is interested, and I guess we'll just see how mutual that interest is.
Evan, I want to get your thoughts on Vince Genitone here in just a second, but first, with the Nebraska running back room, I think as spring has gone on, it's become pretty clear that there's more question marks there than anywhere else on the team. My question to you is, have those question marks reached the point of warning bells to you? Are you concerned about that running back room, or are question marks just that, question marks?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just a lot of unknowns. I don't know that it's any worse than last year's running back room. Like, I think maybe the outlook on that room would have been different if Gabe Irvin had had a healthy season, if Ramir Johnson had had a healthy season. And, you know, as it stood, they both missed most of the year with injuries. And so we got to look at Emmett Johnson, who I thought was, impressive in the chances that he got. He's probably the guy that I've heard the most positive things from as far as coaches and players and what he can do in a whole variety of different ways. You know, you continue to hear good stuff about Quentin Ives, who still hasn't seen the field in an actual game, but coaches are really high on. Dante Dowdell was the addition who is kind of regarded as still a pretty young player in that room, but certainly has the pedigree. So I think there are a lot of possibilities in that group, not a ton of proven talent. I mean, as good as Gabe Irvin is, he's coming off his second major leg injury as a college player. Ramir Johnson, we've seen it in flashes, but whether through injury or usage, he hasn't been a consistent force as well. So I think there are some nice players there, but you know, I don't think anyone would blame Nebraska for wanting to go out and add a playmaker of the caliber of Dylan Edwards either.
Evan Bland with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Evan with the Omaha World Herald. I have your Husker football and baseball coverage this weekend. Evan, how does Michael Terry grab you? One of many prospects that'll be on campus Saturday. And this is another five-star. Nebraska fans, I think, can kind of get used to this five-star visit thing.
Yeah, five-star kid from San Antonio, I believe. Sam had a good piece on him on our site. I think that's up now about just, you know, Terry's one of those guys who can kind of frustrate coaches in the best ways. Like, hey, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? He could be an elite safety maybe at the next level. So, like, there are a lot of places where he could fit in. I know Nebraska's recruiting him as a receiver, so we'll see how that goes. But absolutely, I mean, anytime you can – headline your spring game with a five-star kid, and Nebraska has a number of other highly sought-after recruits that are going to be on campus as both officials and unofficials. It's a big deal. So as we've heard many how many times over the years, getting a kid to campus is a huge deal for Nebraska, just because oftentimes it does break some stereotypes about stadiums surrounded by corn, and you get to see the fan experience, you get to see the facilities, meet with the academic folks, and let those people have their moment with the parents and the family. So, yeah, it's a cool thing to get him here. It doesn't happen very often, right? I mean, you think about Dylan Raiola, of course, in the last cycle, Micah Parsons back in the day when he was wowing the crowds at the Friday Night Lights event, you know, a handful of summers ago. So when it does happen, it's a pretty cool deal, kind of a special situation, and we'll see what kind of impression Nebraska is able to make.
Do you put Terry in the same echelon of Micah Parsons and Dylan Raiola? That's a lofty comparison.
Well, they're five stars, and there just aren't a lot of those guys. Mm-hmm. So will his career turn out to be what Micah Parsons has? I don't know. Maybe. You know, I think about Parsons when he was at that FNL event. I mean, he was a defender who just on a whim decided to catch some passes and was smoking four-star cornerbacks at Memorial Stadium. Like, that was a special brand of athlete. I think Terry maybe is sort of entering that conversation a little bit. We'll see how things go. But, you know, it does turn your head a little bit. Ranking, people can kind of poo-poo rankings, and I get it. But there's just a handful of those guys that can be special difference makers at a lot of different spots. And Terry is one of those guys. And, you know, again, even if Nebraska doesn't get him, just getting him to campus when there's a finite amount of visits and schools that he can really focus on is a big deal.
Evan Blaine's with us here from the Omaha World Herald, Hail Varsity Radio. So Michael Terry's a guy considering Nebraska, a guy that's decided on Nebraska. Evan is Vince Ginnitone from North Platte, spent two seasons at Montana, one of those a redshirt season. A guy with a world of athleticism, needs to develop as a football player. What's your take on how he fits into the Husker football program?
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits the mold of what we've seen a lot of takes be for Nebraska under Matt Rhule. I mean, all the physical measurables are there. When you look at his frame, when you look at his speed, his strength, you know, all that stuff stands out. That's the kind of those are the traits that Matt Rhule has targeted, whether that's from highly touted recruits or more under the radar guys. And I think you got to credit Matt Rhule and Nebraska for acting pretty quickly. I mean, Vince Ginnitone comes to practice for a visit on Tuesday morning, and by that night he's committed to the program. So talk about a reverse in course from Ginnitone's experience with Nebraska a couple of years ago when he was kind of slow played by the previous staff and they wanted him to walk on, and he ended up taking a scholarship at Montana. So cool chance for him sort of on the way back around. And you know, we spoke with him the other night, and he said development is his thing. And you can understand why, again, with the physical ability that he has to come to a place and a coaching staff that's building a reputation as one that makes guys better and advances careers. Like, you can see why that would be attractive for him, of course, also in his home state. So cool deal that came together quickly, and just another example that it's so hard to talk about potential transfers every year because you just don't know who's going in. I don't know that people expected him to be in the portal, but when he was, Nebraska acted quickly, and they feel like they added a playmaker.
Evan, are you going to walk away Saturday with optimism for Nebraska football?
I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes. I think so. You know, I think I don't know how much the defense can do one way or the other that would you know, change kind of my opinion on them as a veteran, you know, really talented group, especially up front. I guess to me, you know, and just like everybody else, I'm going to be watching the quarterbacks. But I think it's just the consistency of it. Like, how many times in the last handful of seasons have we seen opposing defenses stack the box and just dare Nebraska to beat them over the top, or to make a throw, or to hit a screen pass or a swing pass? And Nebraska, you know, oftentimes hadn't been able to do it. So, like, that's the kind of thing I'll be looking for on Saturday is how about just their little routine pass plays? How do Raiola and Kalen and Harburg look in those situations? Are they making the right read? Is there a diversity to the offense that opens up because those guys can be more reliable passers maybe than what Nebraska's had in the past? So, you know, I think the explosive plays will be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the younger skill players, especially a receiver, and how that plays out. But I do think just when you talk about Nebraska taking that next step in the fall, it's got to start with the trigger man. And can that guy be reliable, consistent, and diversify Nebraska's offense? I think maybe we'll get a little bit of a sense of that on Saturday.
Evan, we got about 2 minutes here. We're going to need to get to baseball, but quickly, just a name real quick. What guy not named Dylan Raiola will we be talking about come next week on this program?
Could be a lot. I'm going to go Bly Hill. I think his ascension from FCS transfer to potential starting corner, we'll see what he can do.
Evan, last night, no good for Nebraska. Struggled, didn't take advantage of 9 walks. Will afterwards said can't get emotional. But reaction and look ahead this weekend real quick.
Yeah, just kind of a confounding thing for Nebraska baseball right now. When you win 8 of 10 weekends to this point, but now you've lost 4 straight midweeks, including to a Kansas team that's okay. It's an okay team, but that's a team in Lincoln with what Nebraska has on the line that you would expect to beat, and it didn't happen. You know, I think the pitching sort of is what it is at this point. I think you can kind of tell there are 3 starters that you feel good about, and after that you just don't know what you're going to get. I think maybe the more frustrating part for Nebraska has been the offense, and just when you look at the scoreboard at the end and say, hey, you know, you put up 4 runs against kind of the middle part of Kansas's staff, like, that's probably just not going to get it done. So I think that's probably the most disappointing part there. And now they pivot to Iowa this weekend, which was the preseason Big Ten favorite. Their starting pitching is really volatile. They're going to strike out a ton, but they're probably going to walk a bunch too. So how selective can Nebraska be with the pitching? And then Iowa maybe hasn't been known for its lineup, but it's one of the best scoring lineups in the Big Ten too. So I would expect some higher scoring games if Mother Nature cooperates this weekend. And Iowa under Rick Heller has tended to have Nebraska's number through the years. So it's a big weekend for Nebraska as it tries to stay on pace in the Big Ten and in the at-large conversation.
It's Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald at Evan Bland, OWH. Evan, we'll check in with you Saturday. See you in the press box. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes today, man.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks. See you
there. There is. Good stuff. Folks chiming in the stream. Dylan Edwards weighs 170 pounds. Ross is concerned about that. That's all good. And he's not wrong. He's asking the question, do 170-pound running backs last long in the Big Ten? Chew on that.